The following is a pre-recorded program.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Good to be with you today, Monday, February 7th. From an unusual place. I've been here before, but it's been a few years. But fortunately, by God's grace, we still have a friend in high places here at the Lieutenant Governor's Office, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor's Office, downtown Raleigh, with none other than Mr. Mark Robinson. Lieutenant Governor, how you doing? It's good to be here.
I'm doing good. It's good to be here with you.
And so the first time, of course, most of us encountered you and tried to figure out who you were, that was what, April of 2018?
Yep.
When you became an internet sensation because you were speaking in front of, it was the Greensboro City Council. Was there a gun show coming? Is that the deal? What happened?
Yeah, the gun show was coming to town. I'd been to the gun show once or twice before. I was intimately aware of what was going on at the time. Being politically aware, I knew what was going on with all the stuff with the March for Our Lives and the David Hogg stuff and what had happened down in Parkland, you know, that tragedy down there where that criminal committed that act. But then the Greensboro City Council decided they were going to virtue signal and try to cancel the gun show because of what this guy did down in Florida. And it made me pretty mad, and I decided to go down to that meeting. And when I got there, I decided to say a few things, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Yes. Were you surprised by the viral nature of your comments, because it blew up, and the next thing you know, you're on Fox News, and it was just crazy?
I was. I'm to be honest, completely honest with you. When I left that meeting and got home, the way I tell the story is exactly what happened. I left the meeting. I came home. My wife asked me. She said, "Did you go to the meeting?" I said, "Yes." She said, "What? How'd it go?" I said, "Fine." She said, "What did you say?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't remember," because I could not remember what I'd said.
Yeah.
I did not know. I knew it was received well in the hall because I got a pretty good standing ovation.
Sure.
But I didn't remember what I said, and it certainly surprised me, the reception that it got.
So how do you go from that moment where you're just being a good citizen, a concerned citizen, show up, speak out, then you're running for lieutenant governor? That's a pretty big leap.
Well, you know, the places we traversed after that speech, I had a lot of people coming to me, and I kept hearing some things that didn't settle well with me. People wanted me to. I kept hearing about building a brand, and I kept hearing about money at every turn. It was about money, money, money. You know, your video's got 100 million views. If you monetize this, you can make X amount of dollars, blah, 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 blah. And I just, you know, I did not feel like that God had put me in the position that he put me in to get rich and make money and to sell this thing as a product, because I don't think that's why I ended up there. I think I really ended up there because, like I say, God gives us our freedoms, and he sees our freedoms threatened. He puts people in places to help preserve those freedoms. And I don't think that what I did on April 3rd is something that I should have been packaging up trying to sell.
Yeah.
I saw the way it was affecting people and inspiring people, and I said, you know, if we're going to really inspire people to make change, then maybe we ought to put our money where our mouth is and run for office.
So what was that process like for you? I mean, it's one thing to look at it from the outside. It's quite another to be inside and actually run and travel the state and have to deal with the media. I mean, that was all a whole new aspect of living that I'm sure you had never experienced before.
Well, you know, before I even stepped into it, I'd already made up my mind that I wasn't going to be afraid of the media. You know, the media has a certain amount of power in this nation, in this state. But quite frankly, I think it's time that somebody stepped up and confronted the media and stepped up to them face to face, especially the mainstream media. The mainstream media has a sense of invincibility right now. Mm-hmm. That they think that they can intimidate and push around people, push people into silence and complicity. And it's one of the things that I decided when I was going to run for office that I was not going to do. Certainly don't want to cross a line with the media where it's going to, you know, do things that are going to be mean or or seen as vicious. But I'm certainly not going to ever lay down to the media. And I'm always going to stand up to them and let them know that, you know, despite what they may say about me, I'm never going to change my opinions unless I feel it's necessary for me to change my opinions. And we're going to continue to fight to the nail for what we believe is right.
In the election process, we're talking to Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. In the election process, Mark, how often would you hear from consultants and other people that they would be like, hey, You need to tone it down a little bit.
We heard that quite a bit from people. People would send us messages on Facebook. There were a lot of people, you know, just being quite honest, there were a lot of people who would shake my hand and say, yeah, you're a great guy. But then as soon as they walk away, they say, he's a great guy, but he's never going to win. Mm-hmm. You can't win speaking the way he speaks. You can't say those things and expect to win office. You know, the bottom line is in this nation, in this state, people are hungry for somebody that's authentic. Mm-hmm. And authentic is not just a catchphrase. It's an actual thing. You know, these cookie-cutter politicians that get up and try to satisfy everybody and get nothing done, folks are tired of them. That's how we got this far down the road. We got this far down the road because people don't stand up for what they believe in anymore and don't stand up for the people that they represent anymore. What they do is a lot of them just stand up for two simple principles, getting rich, getting reelected. That's the bottom line. And that's a formula that's not working anymore. People are tired of that. They want people who are going to step into the arena. They're going to fight for the people that they represent and fight for the things that they believe in. And so we committed ourselves to do that when we ran, and we are still committing ourselves to do that now.
And I'm sure that as you traveled the state, Mark, in the election process, that must have been something you heard back from the people you were meeting, that we're all kind of in the same boat here. We're tired of the game that's been played for years. Mm-hmm. Talk about a tough life, a politician trying to figure out who they have to be at any given time based on who they're talking to, as opposed to just being yourself.
That's right.
But obviously, we loved it because we elected you.
That's right. That's right. And it's, you know, one of the things along with that was one of the very first questions I got, one of the very first events that I went to, somebody asked me about political experience. Said, how much political experience do you have? I looked at the person and I said, I have none. Last time I checked the Constitution, political experience was not a requirement to run for office. Mm-hmm. In fact, we don't need people with political experience. We need people with citizenship experience. We need people with that experience of having been at that job for a number of years and getting that notice saying the plant's closing and it's moving overseas. We need people with the experience that have come down to the end of the week or the end of that 2 weeks or come down to the end of the month and have to make payroll at that time for employees that are dependent on their paycheck. We need people who have had that experience, that their small business government has come in and slammed the door in their face and ended and shut down their small businesses because of red tape. We need folks with those types of experiences to come in and make sure that those types of things don't happen to folks and that people can be successful in their jobs and their careers and in their education. So citizenship experience right now is what we need to apply.
Yeah, well, you know, to boil all that down, we're coming up in a commercial break. We need people like yourself that live in the real world. Too many politicians that live in the real world, they don't have any connection to them. Therefore, how can they possibly represent us effectively? We're talking to Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson down here in downtown Raleigh. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, live from the Lieutenant Governor's office down here in Raleigh, North Carolina, with our esteemed Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson sitting here, or literally right in his office, and with a train set. This is the first time I think I've seen a train set in a leader's room. So tell us about that. By the way, if you want to see Mark's office and hang out with us, you can go to Facebook Live today and do that. But tell me about the train set, then we'll get back to talking about politics.
That's just a little setup that somebody set up because they heard my grandson likes trains. And so they set this up in here, and I think I'm going to find me a spot in here to set up so when children come in, they can go to it, press a button, and watch it go round and round.
That's so pretty cool. Yeah. And your grandson's how old is he?
He's four.
He's
4 years old. He still likes trains, but he's kind of moved on to trains. His big thing right now is learning the countries and capitals. So we'll be walking somewhere, and he'll see a flag of the Philippines.
Yeah.
That's the Philippines.
And, that's pretty awesome for a four-year-old.
That is. It is. It's very good. Yeah, they asked him, matter of fact, speaking of that, they asked him in his class, and they asked the kids a word that rhymes, that word that starts with P, and the other kids were saying pig and pet and pot, and he raised his hand and says, the Philippines. You know, but that's him.
That's hilarious. I wanted to go back to the first time you and I actually met face-to-face, which was kind of in the middle of an interesting circumstance. It was March 30th. It was a Monday. It was Greensboro. We were outside an abortion clinic. My friends at Love Life were there. There were four or five pastors and some of the other guys from Love Life. Mm-hmm. The lockdowns had just started. Mm-hmm. Greensboro was particularly aggressive in their lockdowns. Of course, you could go to an abortion clinic. You could go to the ABC store. You could go to a strip joint, but you can't go pray anywhere. out in public. And so we knew what was coming. So we were there that day. I was on Facebook Live and watching the whole thing go down. There was a couple of cop cars. By the time it was over, there were 9 or 10 police cars there for 7 Christian men who were praying. And then down the sidewalk comes this imposing figure that ended up being you. So why did you walk up there that day? Obviously, you heard about what was going on. And what did you think of that? We're watching your local police there in Greensboro arrest Christian men who are doing nothing more threatening than praying. Mm-hmm. What was your reaction to that?
First off, I came down because I heard about the folks being down there. And I had been before to several events that Love Life had put on at that abortion clinic. And I got down there, and I wanted to see if the city of Greensboro and the so-called elders of Greensboro would have the audacity to come down and have people arrested for being outside praying. When you had people packed into an abortion clinic like sardines, when you had people packed into Walmart and Lowe's, when you had people packed just a block away in an ABC store buying alcohol, but you wouldn't let people pray on a sidewalk. You know, I said it once and I said it before, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm a lifelong resident of Greensboro, and I love the town of Greensboro. I love the city of Greensboro. I have a great history there, and Greensboro has a great history. But our current crop of political leaders in Greensboro are a sorry bunch, and that's the only way I can describe it. When you would use the police department to strong-arm your political opponents, and make no mistake about it, that's what they were doing.
Sure.
They weren't trying to end this because they were trying to worry about anyone's safety. They simply don't like the fact that these Christian folks were standing up against abortion, and they were using those tactics to stifle those folks' voices and to browbeat them. And that is a sorry situation for anyone to do. I myself don't like the concept of abortion, and everybody knows that I'm pro-life. But I would not take the advantage of a pandemic to take a cheap shot at those who have chosen to exercise what it boils down to be their right to get an abortion. And that's exactly what the city elders of Greensboro did when they put the police on these Christian folks who were simply outside, 6 feet apart, following all the rules, praying for relief from abortion.
And what does that say that we would have a government at any level, in this case a city government, but we see it with the federal government as well, that would utilize the police force, which is there to keep the peace and try to protect citizens, to utilize the police force all of a sudden as a strong arm force, a political force, to try to shut down people like you and like me and like the folks at Love Life. That was a pretty shocking change, I think, in general.
It should be a wake-up call to everybody. It should be a wake-up call to you whether you're for or against abortion.
Yeah.
That when the government can use strong-arm tactics of that nature to shut down their political enemies, you had best take note, because eventually you may come on their radar with something that you hold dear. And then it will be your turn to have the strong-arm tactics played on you. The reason why we have the rule of law in this state, the reason why we have the rule of law in this nation, is to keep those type of strong-arm tactics from being committed. And when they are, by the people that we trust in office, it's not only a danger to our society, it's absolutely something we cannot tolerate. And if there's ever a reason to vote those people out of office, I think it's that reason, that they would misuse their authority in that way.
Do you think that the average American is starting to wake up to that? We've seen some people like Bill Maher on HBO, all of a sudden, in many ways, is starting to sound like a conservative. Mm-hmm. He's pushing back on COVID now. He's been pushing back on the cancel culture. Because, to your point, Mark, a lot of people are all of a sudden seeing themselves. The state can come after them, too. Just because you're on the left doesn't mean you're safe. Ultimately, it's the state versus everybody. But I think people are starting to wake up. What's your read on that?
My read is this, is that, and it's sad to say this, but in the Democratic Party, the lunatic fringe has taken over.
That's right.
They're pushing lunatic policies that are making some of the greatest states in our nation fail. New York, California, those places are failing colossally. I mean, you look at California, the place is literally, it's falling apart. And it's not falling apart because the guy in office is a Democrat. It's falling apart because his policies are horrible. In New York is the same way. And then you look at a place like Florida, you look at a place like Texas, and you got guys there that are Republicans that are running the place with conservative principles, and it's firing on all cylinders, and people are clamoring to come to those places. That's what it boils down to. It boils down to the fact that one of our parties in this country has given way to a lunatic fringe. And what I really don't understand is this. They call Donald Trump part of a lunatic fringe. Look at the way the country was running and operating under this guy. And look at the way it's operating under the current president. That speaks volumes. Like I always say, the proof is in the pudding. So I think that's what's doing it. folks are waking up to the fact that a lunatic fringe in this country is trying to take over, and they're just not happening.
Well, that's an interesting thing about Donald Trump. I mean, people would complain about his mean tweets and his demeanor and so on and so forth. But right now, I think a lot of people are clamoring for his policies.
Absolutely.
So that's the emotional reaction to somebody versus looking at the results of their policies.
Absolutely. I say it all the time. You know, everybody's entitled to their opinions, including our elected officials. But when it comes down to brass tacks, it's not about somebody's opinions. It's about their policies. It's not about how they feel about the issue. It's about whether or not they're going to stand up and protect people's constitutional rights and stand up for everybody. And President Trump proved it time and time again. When it came down to brass tacks, he was there to make sure all boats rose in the economy and that everybody had their rights. And we can't say that about those folks on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a thing that I think bears repeating and reminding people. Do you care what happens to the Democrats in North Carolina? Like citizens?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My sincere desire is that the people who oppose me politically and say that my policies will not work, my sincere desire is that if I'm elected and we get our policies across the finish line and we get them through the General Assembly and they come into education and they come into the economy, mm-hmm. that they work. And not only do they work in earnest for Republicans, but they work in earnest for everybody.
Yeah.
And that those folks' votes are risen to. It's been several times in my life that I've been wrong about things. I'd like to see them being wrong about those, definitely that we can help them make their lives here in North Carolina.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What a great point. We're talking to Lieutenant Governor here in North Carolina, Mark Robinson. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show, live from the Lieutenant Governor's office down here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, who we're trying to get to come out of his shell. I don't know what the deal is, Mark, but one of these days you got to start really speaking your mind.
Yeah.
Are you having fun?
I am. I am having fun. And on that note about coming out of my shell.
Yes, sir.
I'm a rather shy person, reserved. Nobody believes that when I say it. But
have you ever been?
Oh, yes.
When was that? What changed?
Not sure. I think I'm becoming, you know the commercial, don't become like your parents.
Yeah.
I'm becoming my parents. The other day I found myself in a grocery store staring at a buggy that was just going, well, somebody's not doing their job.
Yep, now you know? Yep, yeah, now. Let me see the manager. That's what's
that's
next.
Right,
you start
right.
talking to the manager right. at the grocery store, you've crossed some kind of line in
that's
the sand
exactly
somewhere.
Right. That's right.
We were talking about, off the air, we were talking about the rule of law and the Constitution. One of my big concerns, Mark, and then I want to talk about the school system in North Carolina, because I think this is a watershed moment for people around the country. We saw it in Virginia. I think we're definitely going to see it here in North Carolina, and you've done a great job of leading people on this. But when you look at the Constitution and civics in general, one of the reasons I teach it is because most people are civically completely ignorant. Mm-hmm. And really across most age ranges, certainly in the younger ages, but most people, middle-aged people, don't understand the Constitution. How integral is it that American citizens have to have a working knowledge of the Constitution in order for us to be able to preserve our way of life?
Okay, so I put it like this, and I don't put it like this to people. I'll tell you how I put it to myself. This is how I put it to myself. I looked at myself and I said, self, you don't like what your government's doing. You don't like how your government's running. But guess what? This is government of the people, by the people, for the people. And guess who the people is? The people is you. If you intend for the government to run well, you are the major mm-hmm. component. You are not just someone who goes and pushes a button to decide who you want to represent you. You are the person who is supposed to be letting that person know what it is that you want represented and how you want representation to happen for you. And in order to do that, you have to be informed. You know, we all love our freedoms in this country, and everybody talks about their freedoms and their rights. But the major component, the one thing that makes freedom possible in any aspect of your life, is responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not financially responsible, you won't be financially free. If you are not morally responsible, you won't be morally free. You have to have responsibility in order to maintain your freedom. And one of the responsibilities we have is to be informed politically and informed civically. We need to know how our government works and why they do what they do. And we need to not only know what our rights are, but what the limitations of our government are,
yeah,
and how we can operate in that to make sure that our representatives represent us and not their own special interests. And so we have a responsibility to be politically active in this country. And I think if we do that and have a great revival of that, we'll see things start to change.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And Paul himself knew his rights. And at the right time, he took advantage of it, which
Absolutely.
Is how God got him up to Rome in the first place. But if we don't know what our rights are, we don't have any.
That's right.
And you don't know what's being taken from you. So we saw that all the summer of 2020. You were mentioning this before. It's one thing to protest, but as soon as you break a window, you're not a protester. You're a criminal.
That's right.
But then we just kind of, everybody's patting themselves on the back, and it's got a lot of virtue signaling, and I care about the plight of the black man. I care about what happened to George Floyd, so I come out to a march. I break some stuff, and now I'm a good person. I'm a good citizen. But
right.
People didn't even understand the difference between activism and lawlessness. So 2020 was a real eye-opener, and then, of course, with COVID and everything, and I think to go into the school subject, I think this is just a matter of people not really understanding what's going on, so you're easily duped. And I think what you did with CRT here in the North Carolina school system, which isn't just with us, and the sexualization of the curriculum, all of that stuff, most people aren't even aware that it's there.
Absolutely. Absolutely, they're not. I can, you know, when we were running for office, one of the things we ran on was trying to bring an end to indoctrination in our schools. And those who would oppose us often ask us, well, you say there's indoctrination, where's your proof? And so when we got into office, we decided to launch our task force, the FACTS Task Force, Fairness and Accountability in the Classroom for Teachers and Students, for the purposes of gathering this information, examples from all across the state, from parents and teachers and students about this indoctrination. We did that. We got a great response. We disseminated that information. We broke it down by numbers, by county, to find out, you know, where the most egregious actions were, examples, and how that was taking place. We presented this to the General Assembly. We presented it to the news media. And, again, we're roundly dismissed and told that our numbers were somehow skewed and they weren't that many and that this was a Fox News-driven issue. They still deny that it's going on. And then even through the trouble that we saw over the issue of the filth comments, when we showed folks exactly what was going on
right.
in school, we still have people who either deny it's going on or, like the governor and the attorney general, remain silent on that issue, which is something I still don't understand. How can you see Triple X rated pornography being being available
yeah.
in public schools
disseminated
to minor children, and be the governor of this state and the attorney general of this state and be silent on that issue? It's incomprehensible. So we're going to continue to move forward on that because we feel like it's important to keep our children safe and to make sure that they have a proper education. So, yes, sure.
Yeah, and that's the same thing with critical race theory. When you're
yes.
teaching all the little white kids that they're oppressors, you're teaching all, conversely, you're teaching all the little colored kids,
right.
whether they're African American or Hispanic or whatever,
yes.
that they've got no hope.
Right.
I mean, this is not only immoral, it's evil.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you look at the folks who scream racism the loudest, it turns out that many of them are the most racist among us.
Right.
We see it time and time again. You know, any concept where you're going to sit down in a classroom and divide children by race and tell them that one group is an oppressor and the other is oppressed, that is not the story of this country. When you go back and you look at the story of slavery in this country, slavery was a shared struggle between those who believed in it and those who did not. And there were those who believed in it of every color, and there were those who believed who fought against it
yeah.
of every color.
That's right.
And good people of every color, of every religion, they all came together to fight against that institution and crush it underfoot for all time. And that's what we need to be teaching our children, that, yes, bad things happen in mm-hmm. this country, but when bad things happen, good people of all kinds, black, white, Christian, Jew, they all came together and fought against it and supplanted it for all time. That's the real victory in this story, in this nation, and that's what we need to be teaching our children.
Well, and it's right there in the Constitution, in order to form a more perfect union, which I often describe in our Christian language. I'll say that's the sanctification of a nation.
Absolutely.
To get better and better and better, because our founding fathers understood we'll never be perfect. They
had a
pretty good biblical worldview. We'll never be perfect, but we should certainly strive for that.
That's right.
So even though we came, you know, we come out of that, we do the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. We, by the way, consequently give African Americans, freed slaves, the right to vote before we gave women the right to vote.
Absolutely.
And so we're making progress.
That's right. That's
but
right.
Nobody really wants to acknowledge that. Why do you think there's so many people, Mark, we're talking to Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, that hate America?
Here it is. I think the reason why is because we're no longer teaching people about the glorious story of America, the things that we just talked about. We're not teaching children about what it took. We're not teaching the children about the fact that slavery was never a settled issue in this nation, that from its inception that there were men and women who spoke up against the evils of slavery. We don't teach our children about the great cataclysm of our Civil War. Our greatest war in this nation was not World War I or World War II or Vietnam or Korea. Our greatest fight in this nation was against ourselves over the issue of slavery. That was one of the pivotal issues, and people try to deny it all the time and say it wasn't. One of the pivotal issues of that war was the issue of slavery, and we fought each other tooth and nail over that issue. And there were people in this nation, millions of people in this nation, who were willing to give their lives for the cause of ending that institution. We don't teach our children that anymore. And because we don't teach our children that anymore, they're now starting to turn against us, you know, these concepts. I'll give you just one concept that folks always bring up to me, two-thirds compromise?
Yeah,
three-fifths compromise.
Right.
And they talk about how they, you know, the Constitution doesn't even recognize black people as whole people. They don't even understand the concept that the reason why the three-fifths compromise was put in place was to limit the powers of slaveholders, because they wanted to count slaves as whole people for the purposes of population and representation, but did not want to give those folks the right to vote. And so that compromise limited their ability to be able to control our federal government. And it's one of the saving graces that we had at that time to do that. We don't teach our children that anymore. And so we've got to get back to teaching our children about the concepts of their history, how their government was formed, and then we've got to get back to telling them about the real story of how all folks came together to fight the fight that made freedom possible.
All right, and on the other side of the break, we'll get to it here in a minute. The bureaucracy, getting things done, effectiveness. You served in the military. Thank you for that. You have a business background. What's that world like versus the world of politics, North Carolina state government, and bureaucracy? How hard is it to get anything done here?
It's extremely difficult to get things done with governments. And that's one of the most frustrating things that I found in doing this. I come from a background where the last job that I had in the civilian world, well, one of the last jobs I had in the civilian world, was in furniture manufacturing. We operated under something called lean manufacturing, and lean manufacturing is a way of completely streamlining everything that you do. You know, just from beginning to end, you cut out as much waste as possible, and that is a, you know, it's a wonderful way to operate, because you cut through so much red tape and so much unnecessary movement and so much unnecessary materials and. That's what you focus on, but it seems like in government, you find ways to add hurdles.
Because what you're referring to is efficiency.
Absolutely.
And that's a dirty word
down
here.
Absolutely. Government needs to, that's one of the things that just drives me crazy. You know, look, we're at point A, point B is right there. We don't need to go all the way around Z and then come back just because we need to spend up money in the budget. That's not what we need to do. You know, efficiency in government is something. I think we saw President Trump do a lot of that, remove a lot of red tape that made things possible, including the vaccines that are available to people now, whether
That's
or
right.
not you want to take them. But, you know, that's the one thing that drives me crazy about government more than anything, how slowly it moves.
Oh, my goodness. Remarkably inefficient. And it was designed, back to the Constitution, which we keep referencing. The Constitution was designed to slow government down. Yeah. So I tell my students, okay, if we design an engine, and by definition it's going to be inefficient, every time you add another part to the engine, what happens?
Yes.
Does it become more efficient? Does it stay the same? Or does it become more inefficient?
Right.
And all these 15-year-olds are looking around at each other, and somebody put their hand up and go, more inefficient? I'm like, yes, you can say that with some boldness, because that's exactly what
that's
happens.
Right.
And that's what we've done, not just at the federal level, but at the state level. In terms of COVID and lockdowns and the schools and masking kids and everything, I don't know if you heard about this. Just last week, the assistant superintendent of the Wake County Public School System was saying that we should be masking 2- and 3-year-olds to prepare them for when they're 4- and 5-year-olds so that they'll be ready for that. It's conditioning.
Right.
Well, how do you react to that?
Basically, what I heard was this. Let's get your kids ready to adhere to what the state wants, not to what's right by science, not to what's right by their parents, but by what we want. There needs to be severe pushback on that. And let me be clear in this. You know, I mentioned vaccines. I am not against the vaccine. I'm not for the vaccine. What I'm for as an elected official is making sure that if you want the vaccine, it's available to you. But I'm also for making sure that if you want ivermectin, that's available to you. That if you want monoclonal antibodies, that's available to you. I'm for your doctor and you sitting down discussing your health care independently without threat of being sanctioned either by some medical board or some politician. Medical freedom in this country under COVID is at a perilous place right now. We have doctors being who have saved lives, thousands of lives, being threatened because they refuse to adhere to what some medical board says they need to adhere to. We're at a dangerous place, and we need to stop it. And we're at a very dangerous place with our children as well. I just saw a picture of Stacey Abrams sitting in a classroom full of children wearing masks. She was not.
Yeah, you could see her big, pearly, white smile.
Absolutely. I think on Facebook, I think the quote that I put under the page was, the thing that you could see most in that picture was not Stacey Abrams' face, but her elitism. Because there again, she's telling these parents, you must mask your children. You must mask yourself, but me, as an elite, I don't have to.
That's right.
We've got to stand up against that. And here in North Carolina, what I sincerely want to do is moving forward, figure out a way that we can make sure we guard ourselves from this ever happening to our businesses or our schools or our people again.
Were you surprised at all? And I keep using that word. I don't think either one of us gets surprised at anything in the political realm. Were you shocked at all? What was your reaction to see not only Governor Cooper but Mandy Cohen control the state the way they have when it comes to COVID? It's one thing we should all be concerned. Listen, as followers of Christ, love your neighbor as yourself. I'm concerned about my neighbor, but I don't control my neighbor.
Right.
From a political perspective, governmental perspective, if you want it, get it. It's available. If you don't want it, we're not going to force you to do it. But Cohen and Cooper together just ran roughshod over everything in the state. And it turned it into a police state in terms of COVID, I think.
Absolutely. Well, it's the difference between politicians who want to serve and politicians who want to be totalitarians, who want to rule. It's the difference between serving and ruling. And I think the way that the governor has handled this state, we saw it with the shutdown of the churches, total violation of constitutional law. We saw it with the shutdown of small businesses. He had an agenda to push for his folks on his side of the aisle, and he just did not. He disregarded North Carolinians altogether. He disregarded their rights. He disregarded their ability to be able to make the decisions for their own health care and their children's health care. And he moved forward with his agenda because he is like those elites. He thinks he knows what's best for you.
I wanted to revisit, I was mentioning earlier, if this nation's so shot through with racism as people think, why is an African-American sitting at the lieutenant governor's desk? But what message can you share? Because I think Obama really missed this opportunity in order to speak life and opportunity and hope into the African-American community, especially younger ones. Mm-hmm. Is that something that is on your radar screen?
Yes.
And to tell them? Forget what CRT is telling you.
That's right.
There is hope. I mean, look at you. I mean, it's an amazing story, isn't it?
Absolutely. What I would tell young people is this. Stop looking at folks who want to divide you by race and start looking at the history that tells us that at every turn in this nation, as I said before, when struggles came, whether it was our revolution, whether it was our Civil War, whether it was World War II, when we were attacked by the Japanese, good people of all colors, all religions came together to fight evil, and we won at every turn. And we didn't do it as white people or black people or as Christian people, as Jewish people. We did it as Americans together. Do we still have problems? Yes. But we don't need to tackle those problems cloistered off in our own little corners.
Yeah.
Based on our color, our sexual orientation, or our religion. We need to come to the table. Well-meaning people of all stripes need to come to the table together and realize that we're Americans all on the same ship sailing in the same direction. And we need to make sure that we're fighting for those things and come together as good people to do that the same way we did it in the past. And I think when we start telling young people that, we can start getting some things done in this country.
Yeah, and people need to understand we're talking about foreign wars other than the Civil War. And the Constitution talks, you know, protecting the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Absolutely.
We've got a lot of domestic enemies now.
Absolutely.
And we see it in the school system. I was really encouraged by what happened in Virginia.
Yes.
I think you can mess with the average citizen, but you can't mess with moms for long.
That's right. That's right. If you look back through history, when the women got mad, that was it. When the women got fed up, that was it. And it's time to make a change. And women in this nation and across the world have always been leaders in history. This is not something that just started with Hillary Clinton.
No, that's right.
Women have been shaking up the world since the world was created.
And
we saw that big time in Virginia with the movement of many of what they call, school moms or soccer moms.
Domestic terrorists.
Yeah, whatever
Governor.
You want to call them. Those folks, those ladies got out and said, you're not going to do this to our children.
Yeah.
Some of them shook their husbands and said, come on, you're going with me. And they went out there and they changed the world in Virginia. And we can do that all across the state.
So, and the dads should be showing up too.
That's right. And they are in record numbers.
Now, I don't know if what I just said was a slip of the tongue or prophetic, but did you hear me refer to you as governor?
Yes.
What do you do with that? Because everybody's talking about
it
already.
That's what the governor refers me to. That's my title. Governor is the title of lieutenant governor. But we're not really worried about that right now. What we're doing is we're moving forward with the things that we still have to do as lieutenant governor. We're still fighting for our kids on the education front. We're still trying to make some moves to help businesses in this state continue to expand economic opportunity for everybody. We're still fighting for our farmers and our agriculture. There's a number of things that we still have to do in this office, and we're focused on that right now.
Yeah, plenty on your plate today.
That's right.
Not worrying
about
the future. Last question. We got about 2 minutes left. Every time I've seen you speak publicly, every time I've seen it online, whatever the case may be, within the first 30 seconds, you're always thanking your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Out comes the J-bomb.
That's right.
And then it's time and time and time again. Why do you do that?
Because I wouldn't be here without it. Anybody that knows me and knows how I grew up, the things that I faced in my life, the obstacles that I faced in my life, to get from there to here would have only been possible in America, and it certainly only would have been possible with God. So we give him thanks every chance we get. And I think that if Americans really take a look around them and see how blessed they are, they see all the wonderful blessings we have in this country, I think you can't help but just fall down on your knees and give him thanks.
Yeah, amen to that. Do you think that your boldness with your faith in that regard – I've seen it be liberating to people because they're like, oh, well, if the lieutenant governor can say it, why can't I say it?
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And that's what we want. We want people to not be ashamed of their faith anymore, because faith is what got us here, whether anybody likes it or not. Because at every turn, when our freedom was threatened, safety was threatened, we always turned back to our faith. And we always fell down on our knees and prayed towards God for wisdom and strength. And we got it from him every time, and we can continue to get it from him.
Amen. That's a great point. Okay, 1 minute left. Just speak to all the people all over the state, Mark, in terms of our obligation this year. We've got a huge election coming up in November. Just to engage, like school moms, us as Christians, who're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, just challenge us one last time before we finish about our place in this story.
It's just simple. What it boils down to is this. You just have to look at results. And results matter. The results of conservative leadership in this state since 2010 have turned us around and set us on firm foot. Results all across the country and other states of conservative leadership and conservative principles are setting those states on firm footing. Those who love this country and stand up proudly for this country and its veterans and its constitution are those folks who believe in conservatism. So if you want to get on board with a winning ticket, it's to make sure that your household is working and prosperous and your freedoms are safe. You need to get on board with the conservatives. You need to get on board with us, because we have the winning formula right now. And we've always had the winning formula. So I would just tell folks, look at the two sides and decide which side is better for your household. I guarantee you, you'll see that it's the right side.
Amen and amen. Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, thank you so much for hosting us today and spending this time with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. It was great.
You're very welcome,
sir.